service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good afternoon, music lovers. We are going to rejoice and praise our Lord for his gift of recognition accomplished through Martin Luther. And I think the choir is going to enjoy having a few other voices to sing with. This will be a lot of fun for them. This is still a worship service, and so let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I certainly don't want to argue with Pastor Kuski. He is the host, the pastor here, and he's also bigger than I am. So anyway, good afternoon, the word lovers. How's that? I would like you all to know, first of all, that I count it a real honor to be with you here today. And I would truly like to thank all of you for this wonderful opportunity which you are again according me to declare among you all the praises of him who has called us out of the darkness of our sinfulness into his wonderful light of grace, forgiveness, and the sure hope of salvation. Indeed, for me it is a real privilege to be here, one for which to you and to the Lord I am sincerely grateful. Our service on this commemoration of Reformation is entitled Here We Stand, and it together with our devotion now is based upon a series of scripture readings which will be read to us by Pastor Kuski following our devotion. Here we stand. It's a statement of faith, a statement of conviction, words which we as Lutherans are quite familiar with. Those words of Martin Luther, which we remember particularly at this Reformation time, as still echoing in our minds against those courtroom walls of Worms, Germany. But as in Luther's days, so also in ours, it is a statement which is presupposed by a question. Where do you stand? And isn't life full of situations posing this question? Whether it's in matters regarding politics, what you like to eat, the form of entertainment you prefer, where you stand is based upon your philosophies, your likes, and your interests. But now, where do you stand regarding the really most important issues of life, the spiritual matters? Where do you stand? You, a chosen people, each handpicked by God himself to be his child, his believer, a recipient of his amazing grace. Where do you stand? You, a sinner turned saint, through your Savior's redeeming blood, a member of Christ's spiritual kingdom. You, a very special individual in God's eyes, one to be set apart from this evil world. And you, a disciple of Jesus, directed to be completely different from the deviant and desecrated deeds of the devil and his cohorts. Where do you stand? Where do you stand when you are enticed by those tempting you to sin, as happened to Joseph, when he was bombarded by that continual illicit beckoning of Potiphar's wife to commit adultery with her? Where do you stand when you meet head on with the disappointments of life, financial setbacks, disease, or even death, like Martha, who, while tearfully trying to cope with that loss of her brother Lazarus, was asked by Jesus that most important of all of life's questions, "Do you believe in me? And where do you stand when, like Martin Luther, you are called into question concerning matters of religious beliefs or your profession of faith, to which you all publicly espouse and then just naturally exhibit by your conduct, correspondence, or conversation? Where do you stand?" A question crucial to our Christian faith, but its answer confidently conveyed by our Christian commitment. Well, as believing children of God, here we stand with Joseph and Martha and Luther and also many multitudes of others on God's word, rooted and grounded in the truths of God's inspired revelation, and then armored and equipped with the teachings of God's inerrant truth. Yes, here we stand on God's word in our day-by-day lives, as the hopes and happiness of our earthly existence continue to be tainted by tears and turmoil and civil unrest. In all of this, here we stand on God's word, redeemed, restored, forgiven of our own personal sinfulness by the blood of our own perfect Savior, Jesus. Yes, here we stand on God's word, the only position in all of this world capable of assuring us to be comforted in our sorrows, courageous in confession, triumphant over temptation, and pumped up for proclamation of that precious gospel promise, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And we, as we heed our living Savior's directive and take this gospel proclamation into all the world, beginning with our own hometowns, and as we walk, march, press onward, forward in Christ, illuminating this dark world of sin with the light of Christ's forgiveness, we can do so boldly and zealously because of the position of where we stand on the comfort and strength of God's holy word. So here we stand, man, woman, girl, and boy, on God's word. Here we stand alongside countless others of believers down through the ages to all eternity. Here we stand with those individuals cited in our scripture readings for today, who by their words, by their behavior, some of them even in the face of torture and death itself, declared most confidently, "Here we stand on the comfort and strength of God's holy word." As we hear Pastor Kuski read to us this afternoon the accounts of these individuals, may these people be each one of you, your example, your model, and may what God has done for you through your Savior Jesus be your motivation to thankfully continue to take your position alongside these people, a position penned for us in those closing words which we will sing together here today. Here we stand on God's word, blessed forevermore. Amen. We continue now on the top of page 2 of our service concert folders with the first of a series of scripture readings, which will be descriptive to us of our position of where we stand on God's word and read to us by Pastor Kuski. Immediately following the reading of scripture, an organ solo will serve as an introduction to the congregational singing of the various hymns which are included in our service today. Please keep your attention both in the service folder or on the screen for quick and ready reference to the individual hymn verses which you as a congregation are asked to join together in singing. And along that same note, I would gratefully like to acknowledge and also thank this awesome choir gathered here today for lending to the Lord their beautiful voices to God's glory and singing for us those hymn verses designated for choir or soloist. And one short note regarding the service, because of time constraints today, we will be making some omissions from the service, but Pastor will lead us through those changes as they come up. Thank you.
Here we stand with the children of Israel in praise and thanksgiving. We read from the Old Testament prophet Nehemiah, chapter 12. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The singers were also brought together from the region around Jerusalem. I, Nehemiah, had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. Ezra the scribe led the procession. I followed them on top of the wall together with half the people. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half the officials and their trumpets. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Please be seated. We will skip the page that has Martha, and we continue. Here we stand with the tax collector in humble repentance. We read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Here we stand with the sinful woman in our Savior's forgiveness. We read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharaoh's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon declared, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And from the Gospel of St. John, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
Thank you.
Here we stand with Joseph, strong against temptation. We read selections from Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me," but he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in this house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care, so No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her.
Thank you. Here we stand with Luther, faithful to God's word. Read an historical account from the book Martin Luther by McNear and Ward. All eyes were fixed on Martin Luther. His questioner was Dr. Eck. Dr. Eck stepped forward. He pointed to a pile of books and pamphlets on a table. He asked if Dr. Luther had written these books and if he would admit that he had been wrong in the opinions put into them. Luther said that they were his books and that he had written others too. And he asked for a time to consider Dr. Eck's question. Dr. Eck spoke to the emperor, who gave Luther one day. All that night, Luther prayed. The next day, at 4 o'clock, he was escorted to the large hall. This day, Luther spoke for some time in German. He spoke of his writings and what they meant. He was asked to repeat all that he had said in Latin, and when he had finished, Dr. Eck shouted, "Luther, you have not answered the point. Will you take back what you have written or not?" Martin Luther raised his head. His eyes blazed and his voice echoed to the ends of the hall. He said simply, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, for it is neither safe nor right to act against one's own conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." And from the Gospel of St. John and the prophet Isaiah, we read, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever." We will sing only verses 1 and 2 of our next hymn. 1 and 4 of our next hymn. Thank you. Here we stand with Simeon, fearless of death. We read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." We continue with books from the book of Job and the book of Psalms. Job 14, 1 and 2. "Man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure." Psalm 90, 5 and 6. "You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered." Psalm 23. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." here we stand with Stephen, saints and martyrs, marching to victory, standing in glory. We read selected verses from the book of Acts, chapters 6 and 7, and then a couple readings from Hebrews and Revelation. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people, and began to argue with Stephen. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these charges true?" Stephen said, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed the one who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him." When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragging him out of the city, and began to stone him. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And from the book of Hebrews, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered.